As Christians, we talk often about being saved, being or getting saved. The question I want to ask this morning as we come to spend a few minutes here in God's Word is, what are we saved from? What was Jesus saving us from as he hung on the cross? And how? What did his death on the cross have to do with him saving us? Some of the answers that may come to our minds is we were saved from sin. We were saved from death. Saved from hell. But let's ask this question. Why are death and hell associated with sin? Why is it that the wages of sin is death? As Romans 6 tells us. And the answer to that question is God. God decided that the wages of sin would be death. That's what he said to Adam and Eve. And that's what he's maintained ever since. When we zoom out to the big picture, we see that what we ultimately need to be saved from is God. Not because God is petty and like the gods of mythology who goes off in a huff, but rather God who is eternally perfect, eternally holy, and full of justice. And each one of us, having sinned against him, stands under his wrath. What do we need to be saved from? The answer from cover to cover in the Word of God is that we need to be saved from the wrath of God. It's surprising we don't talk about this or hear about this more often, given how frequently the Bible talks about this. Just consider a few passages here, all of them from the New Testament. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Romans 2:6-8, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. And the point of the rest of that chapter and into the third chapter is nobody fits into that first category. We all fit into that second category. Romans 5:9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from what? From the wrath of God. It's right there. Colossians 3:5-6, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then very simply, the last part of 1 Thessalonians 1:10 speaks about Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is all over the Bible. And it explains why Jesus had to die to save us and why he died in the way that he did. And the picture that explains this is a picture that's painted all over the whole Bible, and it comes into focus fairly early on, one of the first clearest pictures is the first Passover. Put yourself in the shoes of one of the Israelites hearing these words from God through Moses when he said in Exodus 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am Yahweh. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood from the lamb that was killed and painted on the doorposts, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." If you were among the children of Israel, you would listen to those words with a big gulp and maybe a sinking feeling in your stomach, because he said, "Through all the land of Egypt," you lived in the land of Egypt, and he said this was judgment on the gods of Egypt. You had worshipped the gods of Egypt. That's what Ezekiel 20:18 tells us. The children of Israel, in their time in Israel, worshipped the idols of Egypt. That's why Moses, when God appeared to him, said, what's your name? Which God are you?" So God comes to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt and strike every firstborn in the land. And your mind goes to your firstborn son, or maybe your firstborn son. And the only way that your firstborn son could live to see another day is not if God just ignores or excuses that sin. Rather, the only way that your firstborn son will live to see another day is if someone or something else dies in his place. And that was the significance of the blood on the door. It was a sign that justice had already been executed on that household. The required death had already occurred. That little lamb had died in the place of that little boy. Wrath had fallen, and the lamb stood in between the boy and God and bore that wrath of death in his place. And that's the message throughout the entire Old Covenant period. We deserve wrath from God for our sins. And if we are going to be saved, the only way is if something else dies in our place. And that's why the temple was a never-ending bloodbath. This time of year, the Passover, when the lambs were brought to the temple, they say that the blood would run down Temple Mount and turn the brook at its base red. So much blood. And every drop of blood shouted out one message: you deserve to die for your sins. And if you're going to live to see another day, it's because something else has died instead of you. And so when John the Baptist showed up and pointed at Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," there's no missing it. Lambs take away sin by dying in your place. Lambs take away sin by bearing God's wrath instead of you. Isn't that what Isaiah 53 says, which we had read for us just a few moments ago? "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Speaking there most directly of being healed from the deep sick stain of sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? What does Isaiah 53 verse 10 say? Yet it was the will of Yahweh to crush him. He has put him to grief. Jesus suffered and died under the wrath of God, bearing it in our place. This is the very same picture that emerges in Matthew 26, which we read earlier. Think of verse 45. From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Verse 50 to 51, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Darkness, the earth shaking, rocks splitting. These are common pictures from the prophets in the Old Testament of God's wrath. This is a display of divine fury against sin. But who is it falling on? Not the nation, not the sinners, but the sinless Lamb hanging on the cross, bearing the full weight of divine fury for our sins in our place. Isn't this what we sing? There on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Why do we need to think about this morning? Why did I choose this to be the focus of our Easter, or rather our Good Friday service and this message? Well, there's many different reasons that we could give. We can never assume that we understand the gospel. We can never assume that we know exactly what Jesus was doing at the cross. We can never assume that just because we heard it once, we're never going to forget it. I want to suggest four specific reasons, though, beyond this, why it's important for us to recognize these things, that Jesus died bearing the wrath of God to save us from it. Number one, this matters because it brings Good Friday into focus. Jesus was not just dying a hero's death. He was dying a sacrificial death, laying down his life to absorb the wrath of God in our place. We should be awestruck as we consider everything that was laid on the shoulders of the Son of God. Because of this, the second reason is that this reality brings the gospel into focus. This brings the good news into focus. See, our problems are not just some of the problems that we tend to think we have. And Jesus died to show us how much he loves us and give us an emotional boost. No, our problems, the problem that the gospel addresses is so much greater than that. The problem is that the creator of the universe is your enemy. You are his enemy, apart from Christ. You stand under his judgment, apart from Christ. And there's nothing that you can do or say to get out from underneath what you deserve apart from Christ. But Jesus, being sent by the Father who loved us, laying down his life willingly, Jesus takes in our place what we deserve. This really reframes things along some really significant lines. The third reason why this is important is because it brings your life into focus. Why do we so often get discouraged? Why do we so often get anxious? Why do we so often waste our lives on things that don't matter? Isn't it because we tend to think that we're pretty good people and we deserve so much better from God than He gives us? Remember what you deserve. Look to the cross of Jesus and see God's wrath displayed, and know that you deserve to be in that spot forever. You will not understand the gospel. You will not understand God's love for you until you understand that the sin that you have already committed in your life is deserving of you being put on a cross and never coming down. Until that truth has sunk into our souls, there's a lot that we're going to miss. Consider these words by Thomas Kelly. "Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would enter posed to save, but the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Remember what Christ bore in your place. Be amazed at what that can do to your attitude, at what that can do towards the sin in your life, at what that can do towards the whole direction of your life. The next time someone asks you how you're doing, try saying, better than I deserve, because that is so much truer than we know. Fourth reason why this matters is because it brings Jesus himself into focus. Jesus is worthy of so much because he suffered so much. There were many men crucified on crosses under the reign of Pontius Pilate. There was only one man who bore the wrath of God for every person who would ever believe from the beginning of time to the end. All the justice that David deserved, all the justice that Noah deserved, all the justice that you deserve, falling on the Son. And that's why we read in Revelation 5, 9 to 12, and they sang a new song, saying to the Lamb, who appeared as though he had been slain, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard round the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is he to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. The more we understand how high the price paid on the cross, the more we understand how much worship Jesus deserves, how much of our lives he deserves. Everything. Everything. And so now we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. As the elements are passed out, the team is going to sing a song for us. And as we eat and drink, we're going to remember that Christ died in our place to bear God's wrath instead of us. And this was the plan. And this is how much God loves us. This is what we mean, in summary, when we say that Jesus died for us. He died instead of us. under the wrath of God. And nothing is more important than knowing and remembering this truth today and always. Oh Lord, may we not miss out on the immensity of this truth this morning. Would you help us, as it were, Lord, with our hearts to see Christ crucified, bearing the awesome weight of your judgment against our sin. And may this truth send us out of here with hearts that are light and rejoicing. Light because the burden of our sin has been rolled off of them. Rejoicing because we know our Savior who did for us what no one else could do or would do. And now, Lord, as we eat and drink, may we remember and proclaim what you did, Jesus. May we never forget. Amen.